Let me get my papers in order here. So this is episode...
Oh, I thought we were doing the storm noise.
Wait, what are we doing?
The storm noises.
Oh.
That's why we're delayed today, right?
That's what, I think we're delayed 3 weeks.
Sorry.
So this is...
that hurricane was rough.
This is episode 63 of the Big Planet Comics podcast.
Yeah. We'll call it 63.5 for secret reasons.
we have been gone, but now we're back.
We're back.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, sorry about all the time off. We've had some crazy couple weeks. We had a hurricane.
We did.
Mm-hmm. Frankenstorm-a-cane.
Yep.
And then last week's podcast we recorded, and then it was something happened. It was a mess, so we couldn't post it.
Sorry.
And but now we're back. We're going to talk.
Hey, everybody.
You know, there weren't actually a lot of comics out this month. It was a weird month.
Yeah.
Curse of the Five Wednesday month again.
Indeed. Yeah, Five Wednesday month is always a bad thing. But we're here. My name is Kevin.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jared.
And it's time for the Big Planet Comics podcast. So what's been going on in the lives of you fellas?
I saw one of the best concerts of my life.
What was that?
To see Major Lazer.
Indeed.
And I was there with my friend Mike, who listens to the podcast, and he's like, you know, I really hope they do some of those like horn sounds you guys always play on the podcast. And like, first song opening note was a horn blast. We're like, whoa!
That's incredible.
Of course, Diplo got into a giant inflatable hamster ball and rolled out on top of the crowd.
That's awesome. Like the guy from Flaming Lips does that.
He does that.
Yeah. I forgot Diplo was like the guy in Major Lazer.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
He is Major Lazer.
Well, it's him and somebody else, right?
Yeah, some other dude. Switch?
DJ.
Maybe?
Yeah, I think Switch.
Epoch? Trinity? One of those names?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Eon?
Flux?
So that's cool, though. Yeah. This seems exciting.
It was so loud.
What about you, Nick? What'd you do?
Not much. I won some trivia last night. That was cool.
Oh, what was the winning question?
Put these horror movies in order of release.
Batman.
No, it was
Spider-Man.
Batman and Robin. Horror movies.
This was the options:
horrible.
Halloween, Carrie, The Shining, and Exorcist.
Those are all pretty close together.
Yeah.
Wow, that's tough.
Did two of those movies come out in 1978, but in different months?
They all came around like the same time. Yeah, and like awesome. The thing is, like, it was like the final question you could wager, and we were like in second place already, so we were like 0 points. And we just got second place.
So you pulled a Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Well, that's smart. That's good.
Yeah, it's too hard.
I had a pumpkin party.
You did.
Pumpkin party.
Yeah, we all carved a bunch of pumpkins. It was good times.
Awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was all right. Besides
full
that,
full of out of town guests. It was exciting.
Yeah, there were people bust in from all over the place
to escape the hurricane.
It was.
It's then they turned around, and went back to the hurricane.
Yeah. So that's probably been about it. Well, we had a signing over at our U Street store.
We did.
How was that, you guys?
It was good. We had some District Comics people show up.
By which I mean nearly half of the people on the book. We had, 12?
It was a little crowded 11, in there.
12 creators show up.
It is a tiny, tiny store.
It was pretty awesome. So it was just, people just had name tags because there was no other way to fit everyone in the store. And so everyone would just wander around and be like, oh, you have a name tag? You are. Sign my book. So everyone was hanging out and talking to each other and kind of browsing the shelves at the same time. It was very casual, but cool.
That's cool. Yeah, if you guys still haven't checked out District Comics, it's a cool book. An anthology about the Washington, D.C. and the history of the place.
And the weird history, not the boring.
Not the boring history. Yeah, the cool history. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's all that's been going on. We do have some upcoming signing and event, probably.
Hopefully.
This Saturday. Ben Hackey, although the store may postpone that. We're trying to figure out what's going on right now.
On it.
Yeah, so keep your eye on our Facebook page to find out what's going on with that. And, what else has been going on? Well, we had Halloween.
How'd that go?
Wait, what?
It was good. It was Halloween, right? I gave away a bunch of comics.
Yeah,
Halloween comics.
One of our customers sent me an email today, and he said... It's Mike Short. I don't know if he listens to podcasts, but he's a cool guy. He sent me an email, and he said he had comics to give away to kids, and he was giving them comics and candy, and one kid came up, and he just took an Adventure Time, and he was like, you want some candy? He's like, no, I just want this.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was giving out comics, and these two, like, maybe young... early teenage girls came up and like I gave one a copy of Adventure Time and both started freaking out and I gave the other one something else and like swap no I want that one, no, can I get one of those two? It was awesome.
We nice. You should have given them just all the comics they want.
I did.
That's good,
but it's funny to watch them fight.
And what else? Our very own Greg Bennett from our Bethesda store was on NPR today.
What?
On the Kojo Namdi show.
Kojo Namdi.
Yeah, so we're gonna post a link up to that. He's just kind of talking about comics, you know, doing what we do.
Yeah, but we like the comics at Big Planet Comics.
Yeah,
hence the name.
Thank goodness, or else we'd be in big trouble.
Yeah, used to be called just Big Planet, right?
Yeah, we were Big Planet accessories. We sold slap bracelets and Lisa Frank stuff. Yeah, so I think that's it for all that stuff.
I hope so.
Yeah, so should we do a little bit of news?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. First up, hot off the presses from a couple weeks ago, since we haven't been here for a while. Marvel TV announced that
what
Agent Coulson will be appearing on the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. Which brings up a lot of brings up a lot of questions. Is this a prequel show?
No.
Or is he still alive?
Yes.
Yes.
Life model decoy.
They haven't really said so.
No, I mean, I'm assuming most people who listen to this have seen Avengers, but if you haven't, just
spoiler.
Yeah, go watch Avengers, you guys.
No, it's just Agent Coulson, the character, is being played by a black actor because he's from a different universe.
Yeah,
he's
right.
From the Ultimate Universe.
Oh, it's Ultimate Agent Coulson. Yeah. No, but I thought in the movie it was kind of implied that he wasn't dead and they were just pretending he was dead to
what?
To bring the Avengers to action.
What?
Yeah, that's the impression I got.
There's a bunch of conspiracy theories out there.
Well, oh man.
Because there's the part they're like, well, why is there blood all over these Captain America cards?
He just got killed.
No, they're like, he keeps those things in his locker.
He was taking them to get signed by Cap the ironic twist.
And then Nick Fury was like, sometimes they just need a little push. So that's what I thought.
I no longer trust Nick Fury or the entire of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So we'll see what's going on. But yeah, I think that show's gonna be awesome. I'm in the middle of rewatching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Nice.
Yeah, and that it's Joss Whedon. He does good stuff.
It's got Agent Coulson on it.
It does have Agent Coulson on it. He plays Spike.
In other news, Jamie Foxx is in talks to play Electro in the next Spider-Man movie.
Oh, really? Sure. Okay. Wait, Jamie Foxx. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that guy's, I don't, he's good and stuff,
I guess.
Somebody shock me.
In Living Color.
Oh, yeah. True.
He's good in, Django hasn't come out yet, but I bet he's pretty good in that.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
And he was good in Collateral with Tom Cruise. I thought that was a pretty good movie.
Really good.
Yeah, so we'll see. I think he's got the chops. Fox has got the chops.
Fox has got the chops. And then the biggest news of the week.
Yes, yes.
Lucasfilms was bought by Disney.
No, that is huge news.
Right.
So we actually have a question in regards to this when we get to the viewer mail, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit more there. But the big thing coming out, Star Wars Episode 7 is going to come out.
And the biggest thing
Jar-Jar's
I read about
Revenge.
That, the biggest thing I read about that today was that Star Wars Episode 7 is going to be a completely original story. None of the characters or any plots from old movies are going to
be. Oh, so not even the characters from the first three movies?
No.
Oh, well, I think that's a good thing.
Well, those weren't very original characters.
It's going to be like a completely original Star Wars movie, which is awesome.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Yeah, I heard they're not going to really worry about... well, that's actually a good way to say,
really
like,
cool.
Hey, you know, we're not going to throw away all this extended universe stuff that all you guys probably love.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
But we can also just still tell this story, which is cool. But they probably will throw away a lot of that extended universe stuff.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And but, as they know, should. Nobody should be beholden to Kevin J. Anderson novels from the 90s.
I think the best thing about this is that it's not in the hands of George Lucas anymore.
Yeah, well, he's still a consulting producer or something like
but
that.
But he's not going to be directing.
And actually, for all the crap that everybody's given George Lucas over the past, since 1999, basically, since they walked out of Episode 1, he's giving all that he paid $4 billion. He's the sole owner of Lucasfilm, and he's putting it all into his educational fund, which I think is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
it is awesome.
So, Uncle George, we love you.
We love you.
Even though we hate Attack of the Clones.
What you do.
We hate what you do. We hate, but we love who you are.
Yes.
And your beard is beautiful.
It is.
I saw also another weird thing. So we've talked about the Stephanie Brown crazy stuff that has happened before. You know, they put Stephanie Brown, she was supposed to be in a comic, and then they pulled her out, and then like she's not in the new universe and stuff. And then I just saw two things. One, there was a comic called Little Gotham Halloween Special.
Wow.
And Batgirl in it looked like Stephanie Brown in like all the press release stuff, and then they recolored it and made her into Barbara Gordon when it came out. And then also there's a Stephanie Brown HeroClix figure coming out.
Okay.
But I imagine the day before it comes out, they're going to announce that like it's been cut from the line, or they're going to repaint it.
Yeah, repaint it.
Yeah.
Barbara Gordon.
Yeah. So all you Stephanie Brown conspiracy people, just start sending those waffles back in again. All right. So that's it for news. Should we get into a little viewer mail?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, up first we got a question from Chad.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, Chad, how's it going? I think Chad's a first-time question asker.
First-time questioner.
Chad Ocho Cinco. he says, thanks for the great podcast and store. Keep up the great work.
Aw.
We're going to try. Honestly, it comes easy to us, so we'll probably keep it up. We do love to get compliments at the beginning of all these questions.
It couldn't get any worse.
Yeah, it could not get any worse. So Chad says, after picking up Point of Impact and due to Kevin's recommendation. That's me.
I know that guy.
Gotham Central, which was amazing, by the way.
Yep.
That was my recommendation. That was confusing the way I read that. He said, I was wondering if you have any additional recommendations of comics with cops as the protagonist. Thanks, Chad, for your question. I think there are quite a few comics out that have cops as protagonists. Let's go around the table and name one a piece and talk about it. Jared?
My recommendation would be Kane by Paul Grist. He is kind of better known for his Jack Staff superhero comics, and he's currently doing another super weird superhero comic called Mudman from Image. But this was a series of just straight up kind of noirish, but with very modern, cop detective comics, but just full of weird, surreal stuff. Like the main first storyline is a bank robber like tries to escape from jail or something and ends up running across a guy who's dressed up in a bunny suit for a promotional thing and switches into that costume. So like half the episode they're chasing after this guy in a bunny, and like everyone's getting, it's like mistaken identity and stuff. But a lot of the main thing is that Kane is back on the force after having shot his partner. And so it's like, did he shoot him because he was corrupt? Is Kane crazy? Like, what's going on behind it? So none of the cops trust him. And then there's like Oscar Dark, who's kind of like the crime lord of the city, who's got this complicated relationship with it. So it's like one of those great, intrigue cop character-based stories. And it's really good.
Yeah, I've always wanted to read that. It seems cool. I love Mudman that great. Chris is doing right now. So
you'll like Kane.
What about you, Nick?
I think I'd probably say the current Flash comics.
Oh, really?
Seem to have because Barry Allen works the police department.
Oh, yeah.
He's more of like a
CSI kind of guy,
But it's definitely got a lot of one of his not antagonists, but like he has this relationship that's antagonistic with like one of the detectives, and then it's about them working in the office at the same time he's doing Flash stuff.
So yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd say Powers is a really good one.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and it's just like about a sort of superhero bureau of the police department.
Yeah, and, investigate. Superhero crimes.
Yeah, and it's just about wait, is his name Powers? No. I can't remember the main character's name. I always call him Powers. But anyway, the first volume of that is called Who Killed Retro Girl, and it's a really good standalone sort of mystery, which is pretty awesome.
Yep.
And then there's a bunch of other stuff too. I mean,
Chew. Like graphic novels. Oh, Chew.
Yeah. Chew is great. Yeah. Scene of the Crime by Ed Brubaker is really good.
So good.
Yeah. I think there's a bunch of good stuff. So there's the NTSF SDSUV comic that came out this week.
That's true.
But hopefully that'll get you on the path to reading about some cops.
Yep.
And then there's the TV show Cops, which is also good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad Boys.
And the cartoon Cops.
What do you guys want? Oh, yeah. COPS with Long Arm of the Law. All right. Well, thanks for your question, Chad. It's always nice to hear from a new question asker guy.
Hint.
All right. So up next, we've got a question from Mark Miller.
Famous
Mark Miller.
Yeah, Mark Miller.
Mac Miller, I believe, is also his rap name. But he actually has a question about the Star Wars Marvel thing. So he says, now that Disney owns Star Wars and Marvel, do you think Star Wars comics publishing will switch over to Marvel when the current contracts run out? What are your thoughts on how this might affect the quality of Star Wars comics? And do you think we'd get any big Marvel names writing Star Wars comics?
Huh.
Now, I think...
Questions.
If you look at the Disney contract with Marvel, basically, when Disney bought Marvel... Disney comics were being published by Gemstone, and then that
boom,
lines
too, right?
And then Boom as well, yeah. And that all kind of slowly went away, and now all the stuff that's coming out that's Disney related, at least in monthly comics, is all Marvel stuff.
Yeah,
like what are they doing?
Well, they're doing the Cars magazine, the comics magazine. They're doing the Disney Princesses magazine.
They are finally doing that stuff,
and they're doing the Muppets comic, which is also a Disney property. So I would assume.
It's going to slowly switch over.
I think it will. I don't know when Dark Horse's contract is up.
Right.
But I imagine that Marvel will, or Disney will want Marvel to be the company that's publishing
like
movie tie-in stuff when Episode 7 comes out, because that's going to be big money. So
true.
but before then, I mean, there's that Brian Wood thing coming out, which seems really promising. So
which one's kind of scary because is it going to end?
Yeah, I don't know. So Brian Woods writing, we've talked about it on here before, I think, but Brian Woods writing a Star Wars comic that takes place, it's kind of like a reimagining of the original trilogy. So it has all the original characters in it. Yeah, yeah. It comes out.
No one talked to me about that.
I think it comes out in January. It's in the new previews.
Wow. Awesome.
We'll definitely be keeping up with that. Now, as far as the quality of Star Wars comics, I mean, I don't know.
There's a varying degree.
Yeah, yeah. They're kind of all over the place. So hopefully if it moved over to Marvel and if Star Wars becomes sort of a more viable property again, like, you know, if the new movie's actually good.
Yeah.
And hopefully it is. I mean, it's the same people that have been putting
out. Can't be as bad as the last one.
Well, it could be.
No.
But, you know, the Disney, of course, they're like this giant mega corporation. Right. But they've also been putting out Pixar movies and the Avengers, you know. So they have a better track record maybe than George Lucas does recently. Right. So hopefully that kind of Marvel talent might funnel into the comics as well. We'll see.
Maybe Joss Whedon will do a Star Wars movie.
That would be amazing. Oh, it's 2015, though, so I think he'll be working on Avengers. He'll be busy. But maybe they'll get, like, I don't know, Neil Blomkamp or something like that. Who knows?
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott.
Yeah. And then,
Who knows?
Mark has another question about the fight over Superman rights. I think we're going to answer that next week because we haven't all had a chance to read the article that he's citing. So
that
should be pretty interesting, and expect more on that later. And then, crazy thing this week, you guys.
What?
We've got some viewer mail.
We've been reading it.
I mean, we've got some voicemail.
What?
Yeah, yeah. We definitely also have some viewer mail, which I just read.
Is this you calling in again?
It is not me. It's a guy named Mark, and we're going to listen to his question right now.
All right. Hey, guys. This is Matt. I got a question for you. What do you guys think about that show on AMC, Comic Book Men? It's interesting to see what you guys think about it. Talk to you later. Great podcast. Bye.
All right, remember when I said that guy's name was Mark? It's not. It's Matt.
Oh.
So thanks for the question, Matt.
I know who that was.
Do you know who it was?
It's Matt Dembicki.
Oh, it was Matt Dembicki.
Dembicki. I always say his name wrong.
Dembiaki?
Dembiscuits. yeah, so, Jared was saying, that maybe Matt's a newbie, but Matt's asked us questions before because Matt didn't compliment us. That's because he knows, man.
Yeah, he's a professional.
He is a professional.
A veteran.
Have you guys watched Comic Book Men?
I did. I watched the first episode.
I watched one of the episodes recently.
Oh, really?
Random one.
It's infuriating.
The way I would say I think about it is I don't. I watched the first episode and promptly forgot it because it was awful.
I don't like most of the people on it, but I kind of like the thing where, like, you know, the people that come in and have, like, crazy things.
Oh, the customers.
It's kind of interesting.
Well, it's a very, like, almost like a Storage Wars.
Like Pawn Stars.
Yeah. I haven't seen Pawn Stars, but it seems like Antiques Roadshow kind of or something
Pawn
like
Stars
that.
Pawn Stars is, like, exactly like this. Like, people come in and they're like, I have this crazy thing. Can you give me money for it? And then they're like, talk about it, you know.
I just turned 60, so I only watch Antiques Roadshow. there are things I don't like. The personalities of the guys, they're just, like, very sort of stereotypical comic book guys, which kind of drives me crazy. And they also talk a lot of trash about their customers
and each other,
it's like publicly, like, you know, anybody at work's gonna have something to say about somebody, but to sort of do it on TV, like, pretty low down. They're like, what a freak. It's like, well, whatever, dude, nice hockey jersey.
Yeah.
so yeah, I don't know, it drives me a little bit crazy. I think like the podcast and stuff those guys do is probably a little more interesting than the show. I'm not a big Kevin Smith fan in general, though, so I'm prone to not like that show.
I feel like I like Kevin Smith a little more away from his movies.
Oh, yeah, like as like an evening with Kevin Smith. And
those
that kind
are really
of stuff.
Funny.
Yeah, like, he's good at telling like anecdotes.
Yeah, and he's like, he's good on podcasts. He's, you know, he's funny. And
inevitably, he always talks about himself, though.
Yeah, but who doesn't?
Yeah, but yeah, that's doesn't? Yeah. That somebody I remember when that show started, they were like, "Well, they should make a pod. They should make like a show at your store." I'm like, it would just be really boring.
Yeah,
it would just be us like reading comics, right. and selling comics, and doing paperwork, which I think at most comic stores does not happen. But we're always like checking our inventory and being nerdy about everything.
They'd have to film like a good month's worth of footage to get like an episode,
to get like 10 minutes
webisode.
Yeah, but yeah. So comic book man. Thanks for the question, Matt. That's all our questions for this week.
It's true.
But if you guys have questions, you can send those to podcast@bigplanetcomics.com or to our Twitter. I didn't actually say we've got a Twitter. We got a Facebook. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.
We got a Tumble,
and you can send questions to all those places. Don't send questions to iTunes.
Yeah,
because
they get cranky. Well,
but give us positive reviews on iTunes, because.
Yeah,
because we like that.
We do.
And and you can also leave a message on our podcast hotline.
It's burning with voicemails.
It's burning. it's burning with desire. And that's at 1703-539-CAST. We like to hear from you guys, so leave the message at 1703-539-CAST. All right, so should we get into some reviews? We got a few weeks of books to talk about.
Why
here.
The hell not?
All right, let's do it.
We love comics, they're swell, except when they're written by Scott Lobdell. I prefer important books like Louis Riel. It's time for reviews.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Mm. Oh,
Nick, are
much.
You choking on a Twix over there?
No, I was trying to swallow it quickly before we started.
It is the day after Halloween.
It was like caramel on the roof of my mouth.
Candy everywhere.
Boys and ghouls.
And ghouls.
I really wanted to like do a Halloween episode, but maybe next year.
Yeah, we were a day late. Sorry.
Yeah, and we're like, welcome to the Big Planet Comics podcast. So anyway, speaking of terrible things, up first, we've got a book that's actually really good, but a lot of terrible things happen in it. This is called Bedlam. This is the beginning of a new series from Image by Nick Spencer, who writes Morning Glories and a bunch of superhero stuff that's not as good as Morning Glories. And art by Riley Rossmo, who draws every Image book that doesn't sell as well as all the really
well-selling.
Who's drawing Debris...
Proof. Cowboy Ninja Viking, was that him? Yeah. And he's a good artist. I mean, I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying, like, a lot of his books don't quite hit the big time. Although Bedlam was, Debris was awesome, and Bedlam was awesome.
All right. So if you guys like to see lots of dead children, the first two pages of this comic will be great.
they're for you.
Sold. They're for you. But, that's the beginning, and it sets the tone pretty early about... there's this crazy Joker-type villain, kind of a mastermind who's got some kind of plan, but he's just basically killing a lot of children, and he's, like, deranged. And, you know, the whole story is about, like, him getting captured, and if it shifts back and forth between him getting captured in the present day, where he may or may not still be alive, and he's maybe been fixed and he's not crazy anymore. And then maybe he is still crazy. There's a lot of kind of mysteries building up, but it does a good job of kind of revealing stuff back and forth as it goes back and forth between the past and the present. Like, you get revelations that translate into what happens in the next scene in the present. And yeah, I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, and kind of the setting for this book is in the 10 years from where it starts to where the main story takes place, it seems like society is sort of collapsing.
Right.
And so and it seems like maybe like a lot of people have taken up Bedlam is the villain's name. Or no, sorry, his name's Mad.
The city's Bedlam, right?
Matter Red.
Matter Red. Yeah, the city's Bedlam. And like it seems like a lot of people have like taken up Matter Red's cause and are like causing chaos all over the place.
Yeah.
And like he has like followers, it seems like.
Yeah.
The whole thing's like a very I was talking
it's almost
to,
surreal.
Yeah, I was talking to Andy today, who works at this location in Vienna where we record the podcast, and he was saying like it's really good, but it's a real downer. And it totally is. I mean, it's an interesting story. I mean, getting into the psyche of this character.
I didn't think it was a downer because it's so rare that you get to see like a comic from the point of view of a bad guy that actually has some thought put into it. It's much more like I want to rule the world. You know, it's just not like any like. How do they get this way? Why are they crazy? What are they really up to, you know?
Yeah, and I thought the idea of him kind of maybe being a completely different person now, like, was pretty interesting. I didn't know what to expect from it as it went along,
right.
But, like, his character got more and more interesting and, like, really weird and kind of creepy and not... Yeah, I like when you're not sure, like, if he's still going to start killing people or doing good things.
And that makes him even scarier. I mean, he shifts around. His personality is all over the place. And, Yeah, the book kind of reminded me a little bit of Nemesis, but like a less silly version of Nemesis, because Nemesis is very over the top, but the character reminded me of...
kind of like Nemesis and Joker and the Empire series kind of crossed together, where you're seeing it from a bad guy's point of view.
Well, definitely,
But very Jokerish and is like completely, you know, homicidal insanity.
It's definitely like a superhero universe, though. There's at least one superhero in this, and there's at least another superhero or villain. I'm not quite sure that shows up.
Yeah, there are some twists in here where I'm like, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes on. I think Riley Rossmo's art is pretty solid in this. I like his art.
I like this one a lot. I thought his character design for Matter Red in particular was really cool looking. He's wearing like this crazy mask with kind of like painted on teeth, and I don't know, it's kind of like a doll face, but really creepy looking. But compared to like his Debris series, I think that's my favorite so far. But a lot of that was how bright it was. Like his comics are often, he's got this kind of scratchy style, and they're often colored very with a muted palette.
Yeah, well, he's pulled that back, I think, recently.
This is a lot tighter than older stuff.
If you look at early Proof, that stuff was just like
really scratchy,
ink splatters all over the page and stuff. I think the thing with this and Debris, the characters are a little more stylized. The proportions of these guys seem to be like very human.
Right.
While Debris, everybody has like these kind of super long legs and arms, and they look really cool. But, there were mostly I really liked this. There were a few times where I felt like it got a little wordy.
Yeah.
There's particularly like a press
monologues.
There's a press conference.
Oh yeah.
That's like
carries on.
It's basically just word balloons covering up everything for two pages. And it ends up being pretty irrelevant. Like
it's like a rant rather than any plot.
And it even gets recapped later in the series in the part where it is relevant to what's actually going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but besides that, that's a very small thing. I don't want to say I enjoyed this, but I'm intrigued by it and I definitely want to read the next issue.
Yeah. It's got a tagline on the front, which is evil just something you are or something you do, which I think sums it up pretty well. And unfortunately, this is not the cheap $2.99 price of many Image comics. It's $3.50, but like a lot of great Image books, it's 48 pages with no ads.
Yeah, it took me seven hours to
amazing
read.
Yeah, so very good deal for what you're getting.
I got to the staples and I was like, I'm only halfway through this. but a very, very cool book, and like Jared said, a good value.
Yes.
All right, so up next we have a comic that is super awesome. This is Bravest Warriors. This is just a little bit. Pendleton Ward is the guy who created Adventure Time, and he has a new show coming out called Bravest Warriors, which is a science fiction show.
So the show's not out yet?
The show is not out yet. There was a short that came out,
and
that's pretty amazing. And I think the show is coming on soon. I'm pretty sure it's coming on TV. It might be coming online. I'm not positive about that.
Coming soon.
But the comic was great.
Yeah, so this one is following the exact same feature as Adventure Time, where you have a main ongoing storyline and then a cool little feature in the back, a short, which will be by a different artist rotating through each one. So the main story in this one is basically the Bravest Warriors. So I had no idea who these guys were, so they do a very nice recap.
I should say the main story in this is written by Joey Como with art by Mike Holmes.
So the Bravest Warriors, who are five bestest friends who live in a sci-fi universe, and basically the main part of the story, they have some stuff they have to deal with, like a planet of sexist and like some other very weird adventure quest type stuff.
That's kind of like the weird like cold open of this book, where it's just like two pages and like a crazy thing happens, and it's hilarious. The joke in that in
there's
the beginning
a banana
is great.
Person.
There is a banana, person. He's really sad.
But then it introduces them, and a lot of it is just them saying, all right, we've done our, mission for the day or whatever. Let's all get together to watch movies. And they just sit around trying to, say, let's watch this movie, and then they'll watch it and react to it.
Yeah, or
and
let's
just them
let's,
hanging out.
Let's bake some sentient cupcakes and make them fight each other.
Yeah, there are a lot of
the
violence.
Cupcake battle.
Cupcake on
great.
Cupcake violence.
Yeah. And the characters are all, like, instantly really well-defined.
True, yeah.
I mean, I guess it helps that they all get, like, little introduction paragraphs when they show up.
Right.
But are all well thought out.
Yeah, they're well thought out, really funny, and the characters all play off each other really well. I particularly like the character Plum, who is, like an eternal being. But she's also like really cute, and some of the Bravest Warriors have like a crush on her and stuff like that. Just so much of this is so funny, and the part that Jared was talking about where they're just like watching these scary movie trailers, like some of the dialogue in that scene, like I was laughing out loud, which does not often happen when I'm reading comics besides Nancy. But and I'm serious about that. Nancy makes me laugh out loud. It's hilarious. Like there's this part where what's the girl's name? Is it Tina? I'm just making that up, I feel like. Beth.
Close. Four letters.
She's like, I'm going to show you this movie, and I'm going to say this. I hope none of you are pregnant, because this movie will scare the baby right out of you. And then you'll have a baby that you're going to have to feed and give up your dreams for. I don't know all the details. I'm not a doctor. I thought that, like, really that part good. Cracked me up.
It's hilarious.
But yeah, the whole thing's good. And then the backup story
that part was amazing
is also really good. It's by Ryan Pequin, and it's... it's just basically them playing like laser tag
together with a bunch of kids.
Yeah, and it's super energetic and
really funny.
And really
also,
funny.
Again, a lot of great character moments and like how they interact with each other. And it's really fun.
And art-wise, I mean, if you know what Adventure Time looks like, you know what this book looks
more
like.
More of the same awesome.
Yeah, imagine Adventure Time mixed with like Gundam or like Voltron right. or something right. like that. Yeah. But yeah, it's good stuff. If you're a fan of Adventure Time, you're a fan of Bravest Warriors and you just don't know it yet.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so up next we've got a book called Ex Sanguine, and this is script by I got confused about this earlier. Script by Joshua Scott Emmons and Tim Seeley, and art by Tim Seeley.
Gotcha.
And Tim Seeley is probably most well known at this point for writing Revival, and for a long time was probably most well known for writing Hack Slash.
Yeah,
but yeah, I thought that this was a pretty interesting comic.
Yeah, so from the cover, you're like, here we go, vampire comic, and obviously from the title. That seems to be what you're getting at first, but then there's a lot of... this comic had a lot of twists and turns to it and a lot of developments. The main thing is that there's a serial killer running around this town. Obviously, it's the vampire. So the FBI agents... it? I'm getting to that. What twist coming? So the FBI is investigating, and they're investigating in Old Town Alexandria, Virginia. We're famous. We're like in another comic.
Not the only comic that takes place locally.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
Virginia's blowing up.
It's going to get exciting.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's basically they come to investigate this guy who's the vampire looking dude to see if he's the one doing it. And then there's hints that the female agent has like some sort of trauma in her past. And so there's a lot of stuff like that. But then about halfway through this comic, it starts shifting and like going in a different direction that it might be like I don't know, it shifted away from the vampire dude as a main character, or it switched to like other supporting cast.
It kind of cuts back and forth. It's a little confusing at first.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was like, who's narrating this?
Right. So that's so I guess there's some switches in plots and just some confusion.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of supposed to be that way too. Because it's very much like a mystery.
True.
Which I think is cool. You know, like I feel like there still aren't enough mystery comics that come out.
Not true.
And I think you're not maybe supposed to know who the narrator is. And it's definitely, I mean, one thing, I don't know if it's a fault with the book or if it's actually a positive thing as it goes on, but like a lot of elements get introduced in this first issue.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of stuff going on. It's almost just too much to even try to explain.
I kind
of
liked it.
I don't mean that. To talk about on a podcast, you kind of have to go, like every page something new is happening.
It kind of spoil stuff if you mention everything.
The best way to sum it up, I feel like this is like the first episode of a series. Like, because it introduces a lot of ongoing elements, but then there's like one solid story that goes through the first issue that's resolved. And, you know, you get a lot of mystery and it sets up a lot of cool stuff. So.
Oh, Kevin, were you the one talking about his monologuing, though, or his internal voice?
I don't know if that was me.
Was it you, Nick?
The problem with this episode is I read this comic 3 weeks ago, you know?
No, it's just it's like,
and also, is this guy
a scholar, you know, just like
is this guy a vampire?
That's the thing. Yeah, it doesn't say vampire.
You'll have to read
He's some kind of thing.
He's got a big mouth.
Stuff happens.
He does magic.
And it's cooler than what vampires do. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. I did enjoy it. It didn't really grab me, though.
No.
Like, I will read it, but it didn't grab me like, say, Revival did.
No, yeah. Definitely not. But
I didn't have a thirst for more.
Anyway, do I have a... I've got that, but I don't know what that does. Okay.
Calls the cavalry to get rid of Nick.
Indeed.
So exciting, nah.
What did you just say?
I said ex-sanguine.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Ex-sanguine.
I thought you said sucks anyway. I was like, it wasn't that bad.
No, it was
all right. Yeah. All right. So we've got another book.
Okay.
I'm like thrown off right now. I don't even know what's going on. So this is a new book called Ghost.
Where? Sorry.
Welcome to the Big Planet Comics podcast.
I'm really scared of ghosts.
So this is another one of the, it's like a Vertigo. They've been doing these one shots. They did, there was The Unexpected, There was Mystery in Space.
Strange something.
Strange
Tales?
Adventures.
Strange Adventures.
Yeah.
Adventures, yeah.
Yes, because Strange Tales is like Marvel, right?
Sure.
And now there's Ghosts.
There is.
And like the other ones, especially like the first and third one? Or first
yep.
and second one?
Second, yes.
Mystery in Space was not that great. But this has a lot of really good people in it, including...
Crazy good.
Al Ewing, Rufus Deglow. Dead Boy Detectives by Neil Gaiman. Not actually written by Neil Gaiman, even though they put his name on the cover.
Yeah.
But with art by Mark Buckingham. There's stuff by Amy Reeder in here. The last thing Joe Kubert ever did is in here, which is sad, but pretty awesome. And then there's a Paul Pope, David Latham story in here, which is the one that definitely is the standout for me.
So good.
Gilbert Hernandez and a Jeff Johns, Jeff Lemire story. So a star-studded cast of stories that are about ghosts, except for the Paul Pope story.
Well, it's about ghosts of the past.
That's a good point. The ghost of expectations.
I guess that's what it's about. But, So
you think that story is supposed to be in the sci-fi one?
I don't know. Maybe in Paul Pope didn't finish it or something like that. It definitely doesn't seem like a ghost story to me. But for the most part, these are ghost stories. And I don't know if we'll go through every single one of them. But I will say that overall, I thought that this was a really solid anthology.
Yeah.
And were there any kind of standouts for you guys?
A lot of them were very strong on the art. The Joe Kubert one was amazing. Like, it's literally from his pencils, his rough pencils that he was going to then go ink over to before he passed. And even that, so good. He's just such an amazing artist. I think it's kind of more interesting to see it like that. It's a creepy story about a kid out in the Amazon when his grandfather's about to die and this demon's coming for him.
Yeah, his line, because it's not as meticulous, is like very expressive, like his pencil line. And then some of the stuff, I mean, you say rough pencils, but some of the stuff is like
so
amazing.
Tight.
Yeah, tight. Yeah. And it's great.
So the Jeff Johns, Jeff Lemire story.
The last
I want
one.
That to be an ongoing series. It's about
so
this guy and his brother, who's a ghost, who have a business where they just basically, people hire them to scare people, and it's so funny and so well thought out, and I could read this all day.
It is called Ghost for Hire.
Yeah.
I feel like I could also read a comic from the first story, which is about a guy who's haunted by the ghost of himself.
Oh, yeah.
And then the ghost of himself becomes like kind of like a cooler version of
like
him.
Everyone can see the ghost and
And it reminded me almost of like Infinite Vacation or something, especially the kind of twist at the end of the story.
Yeah.
And all these are what, like 4, 6, 8 page stories?
I'd say 6 to 8.
And then I mean the Paul Pope story I thought was pretty
cool. Oh, it's so,
it's so good. It's about space pirates who are not ghosts.
Yeah, they are definitely not ghosts, but it's also like about two people that are kidnapped.
I guess a prince and a princess basically kidnapped when they're very young by these space pirates, and like the choices they have to make to survive and how to escape and what they're willing to give up.
And like kind of the Stockholm syndrome that comes over them.
But
and
full of like the coolest alien designs and giant spaceships exploding and sword fights and
Yeah, all packed into, I think, 8 pages, and it's awesome.
So good.
Also, the I think it's Cecil Castellucci.
The Amy Reeder one.
The Amy Reeder one is really kind of like a heartbreaking story, like just about like life and like how it's sad.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought this was a really, really solid book.
Good.
I mean, you know, some parts are stronger than others. I thought a couple of stories
not, like,
in the middle
knocks
were
out of the park, like
solid.
The first one or whatever.
Yeah. I thought like Unexpected and the original Strange Adventures were both really incredible. But this is just
this has a lot of really incredible stuff in it.
This is really solid. Yeah.
I just realized there's a lot of horror comics in this episode.
Is that true? I guess
our Halloween episode.
Yeah. Oh, it's spooky. Our next spooky issue is Lot 13. From DC Entertainment.
That last page, man.
The last
cracking me up.
I was so this is Lot 13. This is a new comic by Steve Niles and Glenn Fabry. While Jared was reading the description of Exsanguine, I was showing the table the last page of this
cracking me up. It's so
and we were
terrifying.
Like trying not to laugh.
It's like one of the best final pages I've ever seen of a comic. I was like, what the?
Yeah. So Lot 13, basically, it starts out, it takes place in Fairfax County, Virginia, in the year 1670. It
well, the beginning.
Wait,
well, that's why I said it starts out in the year 1670. And basically, a family is being put on trial, a dead family.
This is important.
Is being put on trial for committing suicide, basically.
Like, basically, the father killed his family and then committed suicide, and so he is put on trial because suicide is a sin, but the whole family's put on trial because they were murdered. It's like one of those like archaic rules of just insanity.
It was the 1600s. People like to put people on trial.
Yeah.
So basically, it then switches to a story about a family that is like finally moving out of an apartment and getting their own house. And it's like a mother and father and
their three kids
who the kids are pretty funny, actually.
The kids are like kind of stereotypical, but with just little tweaks in there. Yeah, they're all pretty hilarious.
And very making fun of how they're stereotypical. But once they get to their house, they realize that it's being fumigated,
yep,
basically.
So not ready to move in.
So they have to go stay at a hotel. Something happens before they get to the hotel, but that's like a very shocking moment. And I'll leave that if you're going to read it
to see
it's pretty nuts.
A lot of spooky things start happening.
And so basically it seems that this hotel is probably built on the same place where this family was buried.
Yeah.
And
as usual, they move the Indian graves.
And then a crazy thing happens.
At the end.
At
the
end.
Last page, and you turn it and you're like, what?
Yeah. The end is equal parts frightening and hilarious, but also just like the thing that made me really like reading this book.
Yeah, yeah. The art is great.
It's Glenn Fabry,
kid.
Yeah, who's probably, I would say, definitely most famous for drawing Preacher covers.
Yeah.
And his art in this is kind of on par with his Preacher covers. It's not, I've seen like a kind of simplified version of his art that he's done for other things, but this is very like
seems
finished
like it, maybe even like tight pencils colored. It's not like as thick and solid as some of his art has been, which I think really works to his advantage.
Yeah, and I think it looks good, and the coloring is really great, and I don't know, just the characters all felt, you know, they felt a little cheesy, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it feels like a horror movie.
Yeah, like a horror movie or like a Steve Niles comic. His stuff is always just like a little bit too arch.
Yeah.
But like Gotham County Line. Do you guys remember that where Batman has a jetpack?
That comic was awesome.
But overall, I mean, I enjoyed this. I guess this isn't connected to anything. I don't understand why this is not a Vertigo book.
Yeah,
because Vertigo's barely existed.
I'm assuming this was something that got started at Wildstorm before they got shut down, maybe. Yeah. But I don't know. It was fun. It was goofy.
Yeah.
It was definitely goofy.
And kind of the beginning was pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty
especially
messed up.
Since Fabry's art is so detailed, too, some of the stuff that's rendered is
that was like,
pretty rough.
Is this a little rough.
On anything that actually happened in Fairfax County's past?
Probably
in the town of Vienna.
The 1600s were a weird time for the United States of America. Yeah, so that's Lot 13. It's, you know, it's not for everybody, but it's kind of a fun, goofy, and disgusting book.
I never noticed
that. Just pointed out something.
What?
A little
cover's got some
Easter
creepiness.
Egg on the front cover.
Historical note that there was no United States of America at the time the story starts.
Oh, burned.
History major.
Wait, no, that's me that got burned. Oh, Nick, do you mean?
No, I was trying to make the He-Man theme song.
Oh,
man.
Oh, because we're about to review Masters of the Universe Skeletor by Joshua Helfiakov and Fraser Irving, a comic that's way better than it should be.
You mean the origin of Skeletor.
Oh, is it called The Origin of Skeletor?
Issue 1 of 1.
Is that true?
Yeah. We were trying to figure it out.
What?
Like, yeah, I thought this was a miniseries, but it doesn't say to be continued.
I was when I finished this, I was excited to read 1,000 more issues of this comic.
Me too.
Nick, why don't you tell people what Skeletor is all about?
Dude, man, I never knew Skeletor had such a crazy past.
It totally makes him way more awesome.
So it's about, what's the king's name?
Falcor?
No.
Miro.
King Miro. King Randor.
No, King Randor's his brother.
Okay.
Come on, get the king straight.
King Randor is the one that's on the TV show. He's been on the show before, and it's kind of
I totally didn't get that.
Implied.
I've dropped
in
out
the show,
of my He-Man mythology.
I think at some point that Skeletor is related to him, but in this, starts out pretty straightforward that they're brothers, and Skeletor is like considered a half breed.
And he's named Keldor in this before he becomes Skeletor in a Darth Vader-y, Frankenstein-y type way.
Yeah, and he's like a mixed race of like the, what are they called? The blue people of Eternia.
The like Gam or something like that. I can't remember.
And so he's considered unworthy for the throne, and he's passed up, and he's got a lot of resentment based on that, and he's never good enough for his father. He's got like that typical villain issues or like
Gar,
daddy issues.
The Gar people, even though he's like seemingly like a much better son and potential leader and warrior than his brother.
Right.
Yeah, and they also say like, you know, he's a scientist. He's very clearly like very talented for this sort of thing.
He's a Renaissance Skeletor.
And so he kind of makes a deal and kind of gets corrupted by this I don't know, the devil, the Eternia's version of the devil.
Horlax? There was a dude that I remember who showed up later in the series. He had like the big furry collar.
Yeah, yeah.
Skeletor's master.
That's like the Hordes of Horax or something.
Yeah, whatever
like
that guy's name was.
Yeah, I had that playset.
I know.
Hordak.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and this is about, him working for Hordak to do something crazy. There's a twist that I want to give away, but.
Yeah, but the opening panel is basically his face starting to melt off. Yeah. And it carries on.
And it's
from
melting
there.
Throughout the issue.
And the opening panel and all the panels in this comic are drawn by Fraser Irving.
Yes.
Amazing. So good.
That is the most important thing about this comic. You know, I will say the story in this, I usually, I like Pshaw, like, you know, things like, oh, it's a Thundercats comic that makes the Thundercats serious and cool or whatever. And I'm like, whatever, get out of my face with that stuff. But, this Masters of the Universe Origin of Skeletor comic is awesome. Yeah, and they make Skeletor's, story just epic and so like Shakespearean. And,
yeah, there's a lot of pathos in there.
But then it almost has like a humanoids Jodorowsky kind of feel to it as well.
It feels very like a Corbin like 1970s sci-fi comic.
And then it feels almost like Game of Thrones ish or something too. Like it's just very.
There's a lot more to the world than there is in He-Man. You know, or it's like, hey, it's a wacky world.
But then it's all like stuff from He-Man, which is the crazy part. It's just really well done. And as opposed to like the He-Man comic that's coming out, which is like exactly what you would expect. From like a He-Man comic, I feel like this thing is just very cool.
Yeah, and the last page I was like, "Hell yeah, Skeletor!"
Yeah,
and totally. Fraser Irving's art is perfect for this.
Yeah,
I don't even know how to describe his style. You know, like sort of like J.H. Williams, maybe a little bit. Not as the panel layouts and stuff aren't as dynamic as like Williams, but the way he renders characters and stuff.
Yeah,
it's all like very detailed, but very kind of expressive at the same time.
Totally rad,
and it has like almost a he gives it a little bit of a Frazetta feel in this too, which
I think
a good
call.
Is like perfect for this. And yeah, I mean, you know, what are we going to say about a Skeletor comic?
The weird thing is, it's a card to recommend. If you don't like He-Man, I don't know if I could recommend it. I didn't know much of the He-Man stuff.
Yeah. If you like kind of creepy, cool horror fantasy comics, you should check this out.
Yeah, like if you like Conan or something.
Yeah, good comparison. Like kind of the old classic, like more gruesome Conan stories. This is.
I say I don't care about He-Man, but I did watch the Masters of the Universe movie last weekend.
Oh, wow.
It's okay. it's got Gwildor in it. It's not okay, but some of the stuff in that movie was designed by Mobius.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Kind of weird.
Like Dolph Lundgren's abs were designed by Mobius. body by Mobius. All right, so what do we got next? By the way, we highly recommend the Masters of the Universe Skeletor comic.
We do.
Not as much as we recommend the next comic, Multiple Warheads.
What?
Sweet Christ.
By Brandon Graham and Brandon Graham. So Brandon Graham is the guy that wrote...
Wait, who colored this?
Brandon Graham.
Yeah, triple Brandon Graham.
Is that true? Did he color this?
I hope so.
There's one page by Marion Churchland, and it's beautiful. But Brandon Graham writes Prophet, is probably what most people know him from. And he also wrote...
King City.
Yeah, he also wrote and drew King City. I feel like more people know Prophet at this point, though.
Prophet's the breakout awesomeness. Yeah.
That's okay, though, because that's a good book. And Multiple Warheads is a crazy book.
So he has done one or two issues of this previously?
There was one previous issue. That was in black and white. I should say this is full color, 48 pages again.
Beautiful full color. So picking up on that, I haven't read it, but they have a nice little summary on the inside page, which basically two main characters had their city destroyed, or what happened to them? Something bad.
Yeah, a spaceship crashed into their house.
Like you do. So they're road tripping to go to a new place to live, and they are traveling across a crazy sci-fi futuristic world where there's all kinds of ruins and alien races and weird technology, but also, you know, gas stations full of weird foods and things you shouldn't eat and statues and I don't know.
Yeah, so this is
amazing.
The two characters, Sexica, which is the girl, and Nikolai, who's the guy who is also a werewolf because I'm not going to say why.
Oh yeah.
it's a funny weird
off color answer.
Yeah. So they go on this road trip and it kind of builds into this story. You sort of start to find out more about the world that they're in, and as it gets further on, you find out like the story gets very big, and they kind of go to, is this guy like the emperor of the planet or something?
He's like a government official of some sort,
but he lives in a crazy mansion and they have to fight his crazy guards.
Well, they don't.
Nope.
That's this other guy.
A bounty hunter.
Oh, that is the other guy. Oh,
there's a
new,
there's guy, a, there's it's a girl. Another, she gets angry when you call her a guy.
There's a new
that's true.
Character introduced. Yeah, who's a female but looks like a dude. And she's like a warrior bounty hunter type character. And she fights armies of people riding headless horses, like crazy creatures,
and like giant elephant things, and yeah, I don't know. This is a crazy comic. I wish I had reread this right before the podcast because I
want to reread
week.
It right now.
But
there's so many good puns in this.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna talk about. There are tons of puns in this. Like their car is called Lenin because it's not Stalin. And so they go to a place that's called the like misogyny parlor where you get massages and then people say misogynist things to you.
Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of dumb stuff like that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But then again, like Prophet, he's very inventive with the world. So it's just like, besides the punny stuff, there's actually very clever, like the puns are clever. And like, he'll just have like weird stuff in the background that often is a pun, but not always.
There's the what's a Matterhorn.
Exactly. But just the world's full of like history and stuff. It just feels very real. And then it gets to the bounty hunter part at the end and it goes into mad, fast paced action and like dynamically paced and rendered and awesome.
And it's a great book to look at. I mean, Brandon Graham's art is very singular. It's kind of hard to describe. I mean, it's somewhere close to Corey Lewis, James Stokoe, very like graffiti influenced. If you've seen like the video game Jet Grind Radio, I would say that's like something that's very similar to his art style. But and he just fills the panel with tons of stuff to look at. And what Jared was saying about the world feeling very like fleshed out, like you get all that like in the background, all the different signs and products and stuff that are everywhere are just very cool. Like the tone of this isn't like Blade Runner, but it's very Blade Runner-y in that way of just like
of a dense world.
Yeah, and it's a really cool book. Definitely worth checking out if you
not like. Not worth checking out. It gets our highest recommendation because it's amazing.
It's the best.
Probably should buy this.
It's the best comic of all time.
Yeah.
Yep.
The only thing that's better is not that. Well, no, I don't know. This next book is really good too. So up next we've got Ralph Azam.
Oh, so good.
Number one. Why Would You Lie to Someone You Love? Hardcover by Lewis Trondheim.
Who's that guy?
Lewis Trondheim has worked on so many things. Mr. I, Mr. O.
Don John.
Don John Surf Shop. Dungeon for most people.
Yeah.
And I don't know why am I blanking right now.
The Maconi Lapinot books.
Yeah.
Monster books.
Monster Christmas, Monster Party.
Approximative Mall. How'd they translate his like autobio stuff?
Little Nothings.
Little Nothings.
Yep. And he's done stuff in Mome, and there's anyway, he did Bourbon Island. He's
a genius of the French comics.
Yeah, he's a part of a group called La Socion in France that includes him and Johan Svar and a bunch of other people. I think Kara Skouet's part of that group now. Yeah. And yeah, anyway, he does awesome stuff, and Ralph Azam is no exception.
So this one is very similar to Dungeon, if you have read any of those.
Oh, you mean Don John?
Yeah.
Don John's?
That it's a very vibrant, thought-out fantasy world, but this one is set in a very small village where there's kind of like the outcast. What did you call this guy? Pariah?
Yeah, he's the town.
He calls himself a pariah.
Oh,
yeah,
there you go. Pariah.
And everybody else calls him a pariah.
He's the albino with blue hair. Is that his look?
Yeah.
So clearly something weird about him, and he's just like kind of a layabout and just like trying to hook up with women, and just there's weird stuff about him besides his looks, and you slowly get his backstory throughout the whole series of this book, and you find out a lot's involving his father and like when he was a kid. But the main plot point is that he was predicted to be the chosen one who was going to either save the realm or do something very, very important when he grew up. And that clearly has not happened, and they go into that later on. But the biggest threat is that there's a rampaging horde that might attack the village at any time, and everyone's all freaking out trying to figure out what it does. But it's just like character interactions
and the reason everybody hates him is pretty funny because not only is he a troublemaker, but he's got like the power to predict birth
or
like when you'll have a kid and how many kids.
So he's like, hey, you're pregnant, and somebody be like, what?
Yeah, like, but also like who the dad is.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
Some
they'd
weird
be like
stuff.
Yeah, you all got her pregnant, all three of you, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, a seemingly useless problem that only gets him in trouble, but then then it kind of comes in handy at a point during the book. And I'm sure as further volumes of this come out, it will also come in handy. Yeah, the main character is very he's very like French. he's like a roguish ladies' man who likes to laze around, but is like proud of it. But this book was just really, really good. Yeah, the story was good and
so well paced. And but his cartooning is like
Trondheim's art, which is
a new level,
which is always great.
Yeah,
kind of goes one step further in this. It's his actions are more dynamic. He always has a very cartoony style. I don't even know what I would compare it to.
Ugh.
But like Tintin crossed with Karl Barks or something like that.
Yeah, combined.
And it's I don't know, but in this, he just, it's so much more dynamic, and just all the motion and stuff is great. I don't know. I didn't even know how to describe
like
it.
A bigger story than he's ever told. It seems to be going on at, the, well, at least two volumes.
Yeah.
But it seems like it'll take a long time to tell this story. It seems pretty epic.
Yeah, like Dungeon is a big story, but it was told by a lot of different people over different time periods and stuff like that. Yeah, this seems like he's already, like, by the end of this book, you get a sense of the bigger world that's sort of surrounds what's going on in this. And yeah, I'm really interested.
Oh, and the coloring by Brigitte Findakali or
I was going to mention the coloring, but I couldn't remember.
It's Brigitte Findakali.
Yeah,
it's so good. It's like watercolor.
It's it's definitely at least some watercolors or gouache. I think it's mostly watercolor.
Gorgeous.
It looks fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole book looks great. It's fun to read, and it's Lewis Trondheim. Come on.
Awesome. Yeah. Highest recommendation.
Highest recommendation again. All right, so we got two more books to talk about.
Two more.
Two more indeed. And the first of these two books is none other than Sailor Twain by Mark Siegel.
Twain.
He yams what he yams.
He yams what he yams. Mark Siegel, this is, I think he's done some children's books before.
Oh, really?
But I think this is definitely his first really long form.
And this is a long one.
Graphic novel. Yeah, I think it clocks in at about 400 pages. And this was put out by First Second, and it's unlike anything I've ever read.
Yeah. So the story goes that, it starts off with this guy in a bar, and he's meeting this woman, and clearly he's done something that's terribly affected her life, and they start talking about it, and then it goes into the past, and then the rest of the story takes place in the past, and it's all about him. His name is Twain, and he's a sailor.
Uh-huh.
And him and his one of his cohorts named Lafayette, who's also on the ship, have some dealings with mermaids. I don't know.
It's super complicated. You can't, though, because it's so complicated. There's so many levels to it that it's like, what, early 19th century?
Yeah, I think roughly? I said it's like 19...
something?
It's late 19th century.
Late 19th century. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so they're on like a steamboat or something, and what are they, on the Hudson?
Yep, they're definitely on the Hudson.
So going around up in New York, and like the main guy, Twain, is captain of the ship, and Lafayette's the owner, who's just like constantly seducing every woman on the ship.
There's a lot of sex in this book.
But then there's also like this mysterious author who's like publishing novels under a pseudonym that are they the ones dealing with all the mythology?
Yeah. So his stuff. And then there's like Lafayette's brother who's died, and there's kind of what goes on surrounding that. And then kind of where the book really turns around, though, is when Twain finds a mermaid.
Yes, in the river. And he's like, all right. And then brings her on board and starts talking to her and like
falling in love with her.
Even though he's married, who has a wife on shore who's terribly sick with polio. And just just all these weird things, all these vibrant characters, and just everything starts building together and it's all tied in. And it's this very convoluted, brilliant plot. Yeah,
there's a great like extended cast in this.
True.
That have all really well fleshed out personalities.
Oh, like the engineer and the two kids or whatever.
It's very. I mean, of course, it's a graphic novel, but it's very like novelistic, like the way it's set up. Like it's like trying to explain a novel to somebody. Is often a lot harder than trying to explain like a graphic novel to somebody. True. And I feel like that this is like that. It has a much more complex plot than maybe a lot of graphic novels.
And it gets a lot more epic and a lot weirder. Quarter of this is like so bizarre. I don't even know how to explain it.
Deeper.
It becomes more of a fantasy story.
The magical realism starts dropping the realism.
Yeah, so the story is a little hard to explain, but let's talk about the art a little bit in this thing.
It's all like penciled and not just like a pencil, but like shaded with a pencil. So these very like deep shades of gray. I don't know.
It's weird.
A little bit of charcoal.
Kind of shading of charcoal.
I think the strangest thing is that it's all drawn with pencil. I mean, you don't see a lot of comics that are just all completely drawn with pencil. Yeah. And
but it gives it this weird kind of ethereal,
kind of storybookish feeling, fantasy thing.
Yeah, I can see that. And I will say I think he's very good at drawing backgrounds. He does a really good job of setting scenes
And rivers and steamboats
and big steamboats and stuff like that. I think his characters are not, I don't know, like I saw one of the quotes was like his erotically charged drawings, but I think a lot of the characters look like Muppets.
Well, no, it's like that sort of thing where he's got like, you know, very big close-ups on characters with, you know, these beautiful eyes and stuff, but he's also got a very cartoony style to the faces where, like, I think you were saying, like, earlier that the, like, the nose of the protagonist shifts from, like, you know, one direction it looks like a well-drawn nose, another it looks just like a Muppet nose, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Now, there are a lot of crazy noses in this, too. That's like true. like Tezuka-level crazy noses.
Yeah. Lafayette's got the really long Frenchman nose.
Yeah. The French guy nose. Yeah. But, but overall, I mean, I don't think the art's bad. It's just, like, a little thing with me.
Sure, I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah, it's, a little inconsistent from time to time or something.
But the story's so great.
Yeah, and like, a lot of good things, it kind of all blends together, and that initial... Yeah. Thing kind of fades away.
And everything comes together so nicely at the end, and there's, you know, revelation after revelation.
Yep.
And there's a lot of emotion to it. It's good.
Yeah. Novelistically great.
Yep. I think it's definitely something worth reading, and I think it's something that a lot of people are overlooking. I haven't really heard much about it. So I'd say definitely check out Sailor Twain. All right. So we just have one more book. Because this is the Big Planet Comics podcast, we're going from Sailor Twain to Wolverine Max.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed. So Wolverine Max is a new Max series, and the Max line, for people that don't know, is kind of like Marvel's line where people swear a lot and murder each other a lot.
It's like R-rated comics pushed to the extreme.
Yeah. And this is by Jason Starr with art by Roland Boshi and Connor Williamson, who is awesome, but only draws a few little flashback things in this, but they're still incredible.
Great parts.
Yeah. So the main story of this is basically Wolverine is in a plane crash.
This is like a Wolverine outside of continuity.
Yeah, this is true. The Max isn't even like a shared universe. It's just like, we're going to tell, it's like Elseworlds,
we're just going to do a cool story.
This is like the first Wolverine story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Wolverine's in a plane crash and basically can't remember who he is or anything that's going on, and then he starts to have these kind of flashes back to his former life.
Yeah. I think the flashbacks is the part where I really enjoyed this. Not only is the Connor Williamson art like really good, but like each panel is a different time period and a different part of Wolverine's life, and there's some like really awesome war scenes. There's a hilarious sex scene.
Oh yeah.
And there's a really interesting introduction of maybe Sabretooth, who seems more like a, I don't even know, like a country gentleman. It's hard to explain.
I thought that was kind of a cool thing. Like, they don't say Sabretooth, but if you read Wolverine, it's, I can't even remember his real name.
You're like Victor.
Victor, yeah.
And he's got a giant mustache.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's that flashback stuff, and then it kind of turns back into the main story of, like, people are wondering why he's the only guy that survived this crash.
Yeah, and how his legs grew back.
And just, like, what's going on. And he kind of becomes a target. And that's kind of where the first issue leaves off, and it seems like it's going to turn into, like, a, you know, like, maybe, like, a Born Identity kind of running away from
people
thing.
It's definitely very Born Identity.
Yeah.
But you do see his legs get bitten off by a shark in the opening pages.
That is true. Am I wrong? Is it not a plane crash? Is it a boat crash?
No, he crashes in the plane, and he's in the water. And a shark starts eating him, because it's amazing.
Because he's Wolverine, and he's delicious. But the definition of goofy fun.
Yeah.
And just totally over the top. I mean, Wolverine drops the F-bomb like, 40 times in the first five pages or something like that. But it's Wolverine Max. There's not a lot to say about it, but if that sounds good, then you're probably going to like it.
Yep.
All right. Well, so that's it for this episode
A million reviews.
Three weeks of stuff.
It was one of those weird spread out to five Wednesdays months. So
spread out to three one podcast.
Yeah. So if we were going to miss a few weeks, I guess this was the time to do it.
Yeah.
But we're going to be back on our regular schedule after this.
Cool. Hopefully.
And we'll see you guys next week.
All right. Yep.